Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, July the 17th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We are grateful for all that you have taught us in the past, and we look forward with great anticipation to all that you will show us in this lesson. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us with understanding, that our hearts might be drawn closer to you, and that we follow you closely in every detail of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today's subject is the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. And as I said before, today is July the 17th, 2021. And we're using Bible Readings for the Home Circle, published in 1889. The Lord's Day. Question. From what time was Christ, the Word, associated with God the Father? John 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Question. By whom were all things created? Ephesians 3, verse 9 says, "Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." By whom were the worlds made? Hebrews 1 verses 1 and 2 says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom also he made the worlds." So how does Paul again express this same truth? Colossians 1 verses 16 and 17 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Was there anything made without Christ? John 1 and verse 3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Question. Was the Sabbath made? Mark 2 and verse 27 says, "And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man." Then by whom was the Sabbath made? It was made by Christ. Notice this conclusion is inevitable. If all things were made by Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made, and the Sabbath was one of the things that was made, then it follows that the Sabbath must have been made by Christ. This being so, the Sabbath must be the Lord's day. Question. What did God do in the beginning on the seventh day? Genesis 2 and verse 2 says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." In other words, in all things were made by Jesus Christ, then he, with the Father, rested on the first seventh day from all his labor in the work of creation. So after resting on the seventh day, what did God do? Genesis 2 and verse 3 says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Inasmuch as this blessing and this sanctification of the day was a part of the making of the Sabbath, as well as the resting upon this day, these also must have been done by Christ, for the Sabbath was made by him. Question. How much honor is due to Christ? John 10 and verse 30 says, "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." That's John 5 and verse 23. And then, "I and my Father are one," says John 10 and verse 30. In keeping the Sabbath, therefore, we honor Christ equally with the Father. Question. Did Christ keep the Sabbath? Luke 4 and verse 16 says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had be brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." And then in John 15 and verse 10, it says, "I have kept my Father's commandments." Did Christ's followers keep the Sabbath after his death? Luke 23 and verse 56 says, "And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Did they observe it after his resurrection? Acts 17 and verse 2 says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures." So on what day does John say he was in the Spirit? Revelation 1 and verse 10 says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." What day does the commandment say is the Lord's? Exodus 20 and verse 10 says, "The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord." So by whose spirit did the prophets write? 1 Peter 1 and verse 11 says, "The Spirit of Christ which was in them." Question: what does the prophet Isaiah, speaking for God through this Spirit of Christ, call the seventh day Sabbath? Isaiah 58 and verse 13 says, "It is my holy day." Does Christ anywhere in the scriptures even claim another day of the week than the seventh as his? He does not. We do not need to speculate as to what day is the Lord's if we will but take the word of God for our guide. For loyalty to which John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. If John therefore referred to a day of the week, on what day must he have been in the Spirit? The answer? The seventh day. No other day of the week in all the Bible is claimed by God as his day. During the second, third, and fourth centuries of the Christian era, when apostasy came in like a flood, men, without any warrant or command or scripture, thinking to do honor to Christ and despite to the Jews who crucified Christ, began to neglect the Sabbath of the fourth commandment and to honor the day of the week on which Christ rose from the dead, the first day, as the Lord's day, until finally the Sabbath was almost wholly lost sight of and the Sunday quite generally took its place. But there was no more warrant for this change in the divine and unchangeable law of God than there was for other errors and changes which crept into the professed Christian church during this same time, such as abstaining from meat on Friday in honor of the crucifixion, Mariology, or the worship of the Virgin Mary, the Mass, or purgatory, or indulgences, prayers for the dead, saint worship, and the human vicariship of Christ. There was no more divine authority for one than for the others. All came in through apostasy. The Bible knows but one true and living God, one lawgiver, one mediator between God and man, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one baptism, and one Sabbath. And this is clearly defined in the Word of God. In the book Desire of Ages, page 281 in paragraph 1, chapter 29, under the topic The Sabbath, it says this: "The Sabbath was hallowed at the creation. As ordained for man, it had its origin when the morning stars sang together and all the songs of God shouted for joy. Peace brooded over the world, for earth was in harmony with heaven. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And he rested in the joy of his completed work. Because he had rested upon the Sabbath, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart to a holy use. He gave it to Adam as a day of rest. It was a memorial of the work of creation, and thus a sign of God's power and his love. The scripture says, "He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The things that are made declare the invisible things of him since the creation of the world, even his everlasting power and divinity. All things were created by the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And since the Sabbath is a memorial of the work of creation, it is a token of the love and power of God. The Sabbath calls our thoughts to nature and brings us into communion with the Creator. In the song of the bird, the sighing of the trees, and the music of the sea, we still may hear his voice who talked with Adam in Eden in the cool of the day. And as we behold his power in nature, we find comfort. For the word that created all things is that which speaks life to the soul. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was this thought that awoke the song, "Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." And you'll find that also in Psalm 92 and verses 4 and 5. And the Holy Spirit, through the prophet Isaiah, declares, "To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look upon me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." This is the message written in nature, which the Sabbath is appointed to keep in memory. When the Lord hath Israel hallow his Sabbath, he said, "Thou shalt be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am Jehovah your God." The Sabbath was embodied in the law giving at Sinai, and it was not then first made known as a day of rest. The people of Israel had a knowledge of it before they came to Sinai. On the way thither, the Sabbath was kept. When some profaned it, the Lord reproved them, saying, "How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws?" So notice now that the Sabbath has a long history that precedes before the Garden of Eden. And all of man's love for God is shown when he recognizes the power of God. For God is indeed the Creator, and the example of his lifestyle must be followed by those of us who claim to be his children. The Sabbath has been given as a place of correction, a moment in time when we will be restored and repaired And all of those things within us that need to be changed and transformed can be and will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God in His wisdom does this for us. And He continues to do this daily. During the week, as we prepare for the Sabbath, as we allow our lives to be led by Him, as we allow our thoughts to be purified by Him, we recognize the seriousness of the times in which we live. As we look forward to that day, at the end of the week, when not only do we rest, but we allow ourselves to be transformed. We allow our bodies to be upgraded. We allow ourselves to be repaired so that we might walk according to the will of God and do the things that He has said. The keeping of the Sabbath is a powerful, powerful admission of our allegiance to God. When we recognize when it is, and we do those things that are right and pleasing in God's sight, then He responds, for He recognizes that we recognize Him as our Lord and Savior, as our Creator. We give ourselves to Him, allowing ourselves to be led by Him. We allow our thoughts to focus on Him. We do not become distracted by the things that are around us, but we allow for the Sabbath to embed us and fill us with understanding of the great and wonderful God. As the day progresses, changes take place in our hearts and in our bodies, but especially in our minds. We become more and more committed to the truth of salvation. We allow ourselves to be led by Him in ways that cannot be done if we ignore this wonderful day of coming together. The Sabbath was indeed made for man, made for man's uplifting, made for man's expansion of understanding, made for man to come closer to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to allow Him to understand the truth in ways that he would not have been able to do had he ignored completely the seventh day of the week. So today, how do you spend your Sabbath? What do you do? Are you respectful? Do you honor the power of Christ? Do you recognize that when you enter into that time of the Sabbath day, that the presence of Christ is there with you? Do you recognize Him there with you? Do you reach out and ask for the transforming power and the lighting up of the world in your head so that you might see the glory of the kingdom and be drawn even closer to the maker of mankind? Perhaps today you should ask for forgiveness for any Sabbath breaking that has occurred in your life. Asking God for forgiveness that you might walk according to His will and set the right example, not just to your children, but to your husband, to your wives, and to those who are around you, who are observing you. Give them an opportunity to see what the Sabbath is really about and how wonderful it can be if you walk according to the will of God. Today God is calling you. As I said before, God is giving you an opportunity to be transformed, to upgrade your understanding of truth, to allow your character to be a reflection of His character, so that you might indeed walk according to His will, be obedient to His cause, and grow in grace and be transformed or sanctified according to all that you need to have done to you. Why not begin that new walk today? Why not give yourself an opportunity to be with Him again? Why not reach out and begin your first love all over again, so that everything about you might indeed reflect His character today? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you give. We thank you for the strengthening of the Sabbath, that we might walk according to your will and be transformed thereby. We thank you for the blessings that are available. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be consistent and obedient, that we will indeed do those things that you are calling upon us to do. so that our lives might reflect you, and that our words might indeed sound the bell of love, that those who hear those words might recognize that we have spent some time with Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, July the 17th, 2021.